Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
I went to my first Weight Watchers meeting at the age of 13. I have lost 40, 50 pounds many, many times, and it just would always come back up. That was my gateway to carnivore, and it's been life-changing. They just felt so good and so happy. And yeah, this is the only thing I've done that I've been able to stick to and keep the weight off. It also pisses me off. Why didn't my doctors talk to me about what I'm eating? I don't think they even understand that the fuel we are putting into our body affects how we feel, which is crazy. I mean, I'm learning so much after eating this way that I didn't think that. I didn't think what I was eating had anything to do with my mental health. No one told me, no one said that. But it makes so much sense. If you're eating this high inflammatory diet and depression is linked to inflammation of the brain, then of course you're not gonna feel good when you're eating this way, you know? So that's been like the biggest thing for me, is getting my mental health back, because I was not in a good place before. So it's been life-changing.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome Courtney Luna to the channel. Welcome, Courtney. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. I'm excited to hear your story, talk a little bit about everything you got going on. You've become a really popular person in the carnivore community. You have your YouTube channel. You have your recipes, which I want to talk about with you as well. But maybe we could start back at the beginning, if you could tell us what sort of led you into this carnivore space.
Okay. We can maybe rewind to the age of 13, but I promise I'll make it quick. I went to my first Weight Watchers meeting at the age of 13, and I had thought that my mom gently suggested it, and that's what I would say in interviews, and she must have watched them, because she's like, I didn't tell you to go. Like, you wanted to go. You asked to do that. So I was never, like, hugely overweight when I was younger. I was, like, playing soccer my whole life, but I remember just, you know, having a little bit of a belly and just feeling a little gross, so started going to Weight Watchers, which, I mean, I feel like the majority of the people, you know, have even dabbled in that, and it's essentially if it fits your macros. Like, you can eat anything you want as long as, you know, it fits in your points for the day. So that kind of started me off on a long journey of wonky eating, yo-yo dieting, you name it, I have tried it. Slim Fast Diet, Nutrisystem, the Special K, the cereal, not the drug, where it's like, oh, eat two bowls of cereal and have a sensible dinner. I feel like I got a little bit closer to eating a healthy diet in 2010. My mom, who was actually like a 25-year vegetarian at the time, was like, oh, look what I found. And it was Mark Sisson's Primal Blueprint. She's like, let's try paleo. So I dabbled in that. Like, at the time, I was young. I can't do math right now, but, you know, in my early 20s. So I would do it here and there, but I was young. I was out partying. Like, I didn't really care about my health, but things got a little bit better, low carb keto space. And I did that for about 7 years on and off, never once heard about carnivore during that time. Like, I don't know why that was like hidden from me. I was, you know, following influencers and bloggers and, you know, doing the whole 30 stuff, never heard about carnivore. It wasn't until, I guess this is like 3 years ago now, my husband was sending me Dr. Paul Saladino's TikToks. And that's like his love language, to send me TikToks. So I watched him for like a month. And then finally I was like, we didn't talk about it. And I was like, why are you sending me these? Like, should we really be not eating vegetables? That's crazy. I guess I forgot a little chunk before that. So I stopped doing low carb, stopped doing what was working for me. I got caught up in the low anti-diet culture space. So I'm like, yes, let's try this. All foods fit. There's no such thing as bad foods. All the foods are on the table. I gained 40 pounds in 4 months. Like, things were not going well. So that's why he was sending me those. And you know, one point I was just like, okay, let's try it. Like, I'm waking up feeling lethargic after a good night's sleep. I am now almost 200 pounds and I'm 5'4". My mental health is horrendous. I'm medicated at the time. My skin was breaking out so bad, and I'm a picker. I love to pick. So then I had like all these scars. So when I was watching those, I'm like, let's just give it a shot. I'm like, I have nothing to lose. So honestly, I was really just coming at it yet again from a weight loss perspective. Like, oh, I need to lose this weight. I'm not feeling great. I didn't know all these health benefits that I would get because I wasn't following in any of the influencers yet. You know, it was just seeing Saladino. So coming at it to try and lose this weight, and like a month in, I'm like, oh my gosh, like my mental health feels better because I had since lowered my dosage of Zoloft and it wasn't enough. Like, I was still struggling. So I noticed that shift, and then my skin started clearing up. I'm like, what is happening? So yeah, I'm like so thankful for Saladino, even though I don't eat the way he does, but I like, that was my gateway to carnivore, and it's been life-changing.
That's amazing. When you started doing Saladino, did you do the fruit or was it just meat?
Quick interruption. Beast Mode Soap sent me this soap, 100% beef tallow, free to try. This is certified grass-fed tallow, never vegan, made in the USA, natural essential oils. We got forest ash, paleo pine. We're in the pine forest. The forest ash is my favorite. I've been using it for a while now. They sent this to me for free, but I liked it so much I agreed to do a paid partnership with them because I believe people need to know what they're putting on their body. And the soap that I had at home is full of chemicals, detergents. Seriously, after I use this soap, my skin feels so soft and so incredible. What you put on your skin ends up in your bloodstream. And I only want to put good things in my body and on my body. And this, there couldn't be much better. This is 100% beef tallow.
Learn more at beastmoatsoap.com.
I did. So, you know, my little sugar addicted brain was like, yes, we're going to do the fruit. I will say I was mindful about the carbs just coming from like a low carb place. I was tracking macros at the time. I think I was around like 50 carbs, maybe 75, you know, so I was doing a lot of burgers. I would put maple syrup on them, which is fantastic, with butter. I do miss that. I would have some fruit. I would have some kefir, and I'm trying to think, I even like had some like nuts and stuff in the beginning. But then after 5 weeks, I realized that after I was done eating, I was full, but like my mouth still wanted blueberries. So I was still, you know, somewhat addicted to that sugar, even though it was coming from fruit. So yeah, I went strict carnivore after that, and just hit my 3 years in May. And to be honest, I've been struggling lately. I tried to add in some carbs, and I should know better because of, you know, what I went through at the beginning, but having a little bite of berries was like totally triggering. And I'm just now getting back on track from like a month of spiraling.
Do you feel like all of those other diets you did before this, that you were in some way sort of moderating your addiction, or maybe not realizing that you were addicted, and carnivores kind of help you get through that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In hindsight, it's like, no wonder I never felt that like peace and food freedom, and I can never keep the weight off because I'm trying to moderate things that shouldn't even be considered food. Like, I love Oreos, but like we should not be eating those. So yeah, and that's also why I feel like doing like keto didn't work for me, because I was having those keto treats. Like if I was doing Whole Foods keto, that probably would have been better, but I was always baking all those. So it wasn't until I was carnivore and I heard my friend Serena mention, you know, abstainers versus moderators, and it all clicked. It's like, of course I never stuck to that, and I would always gain it back because I can't moderate those foods. Like I need to abstain. Like an alcoholic just can't have one drink on the weekend. I can't have one donut. It's going to set me off the rails. I'm going to be at the donut store every day. Like it's just crazy. And I just lived that the last month. It's been absolutely out of control. When that sugar monster grabs a hold of you, it's so hard to let go, even when you know what you're doing, but it's like, you just don't care. And it's crazy. So in the last month, I've gained 10 pounds. My skin's breaking out. My mental health is awful. So I've tried to get back on track a couple times during that time, and then it didn't happen. So I am day two of being back at it, and it's hard. So if anyone's out there struggling, you know, like just knowing that abstainer moderator piece, I feel like it was like really helpful.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you're back on track day two. Congratulations. It's, that was a huge epiphany for me. Your story is so similar to mine. I did the same thing with all the keto snacks and treats. And it was like a big epiphany after starting carnivore. I'm like, I was just horribly addicted. And even when I was doing keto and I had some really good success, it was like your analogy. I was like an alcoholic, where I'm like, oh, I'll have a little bit of wine. I'll have a little bit. And it would never work. I'd end up binging. And then I'd end up feeling horrible about it. And then I'd try to abstain for a while, and I would just keep doing that. So I think that's a really important lesson for so many people, because I really believe a lot of people just, they don't realize they're addicted. There's that thing out there too, like, well, some people can do it. I don't know. I don't know. I guess some people can, or can they for a little while? I don't know that they can moderate those things, because I don't know anyone that can really moderate such a strong addiction like drugs or alcohol. And I feel like this food addiction is worse than that, because it's everywhere. Like everywhere you go, like you got to eat. You don't have to drink alcohol. So
yeah. And it's socially accepted too. Like no one's going to be like, oh, how sad you can't have a glass of wine, but they're going to be, and they say to me, how sad you can't have like a slice of regular cake. And I feel like even with keto, like, yeah, I had success. I lost 50 pounds twice, but I also gained it back twice. And, you know, I think it's also in that keto world, it's very accepted to have cheat days or cheat weekends. Like it was just part of it. Like that's kind of what you do. And that's what I saw other people doing, like your keto. And then on the weekend you have a cheat meal. But if you're not a moderator, that cheat meal for me led to, you know, a cheat day, a cheat weekend. And then it was a vicious cycle of always starting back up on Monday, or maybe it drifted through Monday. And it never worked well for me. So having that self-awareness that there are many foods that I just need to abstain from to feel my best.
Yeah. You're speaking my words. That was the same thing with me too. I'd have the cheat. It would be a cheat Saturday, and it would turn into the cheat weekend. And then it would be like, oh, well, the first of the month is a week away. Why not? And it would just be like, this is the last time I'm ever going to get to eat this food. So let's go get pizza. Let's go get this. And let's get everything we possibly can, because this is going to be it. And then like 7 days later, well, let's do another cheat day again. And it would just keep repeating over and over again. So I really appreciate you sharing all that, though, because there's so many people out there struggling and suffering. And I don't think it's because they're choosing to. I think they don't treat this like a serious addiction that it is. So it's an important conversation, I think, to have. Was there a moment when you were doing carnivore where you were just like, whoa, this is kind of different than all of those other diets, paleo and Weight Watchers and things that you kind of remember?
Yeah. And I remember even just, you know, getting to the 3 month mark. And like, I feel like 30 days is great, but something even more magical happened at the 3 month mark. And it just, I don't even know how to explain it. I get goosebumps, but I just remember even like walking around Barnes and Noble one time and just tearing up out of nowhere because I just felt so good and so happy. And yeah, this is the only thing I've done that I've been able to stick to and keep the weight off, because I have lost 40, 50 pounds many, many times. And it just would always come back up because I didn't realize that certain foods were so addicting. I had no clue. And it's so crazy because even now the dietitians and the all foods fit camp. Like, they won't even agree. There's no common ground. They will not even understand that sugar is so addicting. And maybe it's not even just the sugar alone. I feel like I'm learning a lot from these people that are sugar fasting. So it's not the sugar by itself, but it's the sugar and the fat. So all this processed food and the donuts and the cakes and the Oreos. And they think we need to have that in moderation to have a healthy relationship with food. But it's like, why would we do that to ourselves when it's like affecting the same areas in the brain like cocaine does? It's lighting up your brain when you're eating those. You know, they have food scientists that their job is to hit that bliss point and to create those foods that hit that bliss point. So why do we have to struggle with trying to moderate those when it's just so freeing to not have them at all? And then once it's out of your diet, you don't crave it. If you're having a donut once a week, that is going to keep the sugar monster alive, even if you can like push things off, but you're still going to like think about it. So just getting all that out of your system, you know, it's rough in the beginning, you know, but once you get it out a couple weeks later, it's easy. And like those cravings are all gone and it's so easy to stick to. Unless you start to get a little squirrely and like, oh, let me see if I can have a few berries or if I can have that. And that's, you know, where the problem comes. So just having that self-awareness, if you do need to abstain, has been huge.
Right. Yeah. I get a lot of people that say, oh, that must be so boring or restrictive just eating meat. But it's the opposite. It's just a weird thing. Once you get into it, like you said, when those cravings go away and you're not constantly thinking about food and you're just satisfied eating something and you're so much more free time. There's so much, it's kind of liberating in a way that's, I never would have imagined when I first started doing this.
Yeah. I think with restriction can bring freedom. Like there was nothing free feeling about being in a dark, depressive place, you know, being overweight, feeling bad about myself, having horrible acne, like that doesn't feel good. And so what? I'm supposed to like, you know, feel like that just so I can eat some Oreos and some cake? Like, no, eating this way, it gave me my life back. And some people may think it's boring. And honestly, I sometimes do feel bad for myself. Like I would like to, you know, have something here and there, but I'm realizing now that I can't moderate that. And I'd rather have a peaceful, happy life and use this food as fuel, which can still be delicious. But, you know, I don't need to have all those things to live a good life.
Right. One of the reasons that I got so passionate about carnivore is my mental health. I had horrible depression, anxiety. I was on like 15 different medications for 10 years. They kept giving me more and more medications and the depression never went away. And this was the only thing, like I'm on no medication now. It's a miracle. Like it's literally saved my life. And I've talked to so many people where they went into carnivore to lose some weight or for one reason or another, but they had this unexpected benefit of mental health improvements. Can you talk about that a little bit more and what that's done for your mental health?
Yeah, it's been amazing. And like I said, I had no idea that was even going to be a benefit. I feel like now people are probably like following a lot of people and they're like, oh, I'm going to do this for my mental health. But I had no clue. So before carnivore, I was on Zoloft. I was at like 100 milligrams, which I feel like is kind of an aggressive amount. And it totally like numbed me out. Like I'm a crier just even like on a commercial. And I remember like watching shows and my husband would look at me to see if I was crying and it's like no feelings. So we lowered it. I eventually went to like 25 milligrams so I could feel like myself again, but it wasn't enough. Like I was still having depression and anxiety. So when I started animal-based, I felt that shift within a month. And I remember telling my husband, like, I think I'm feeling good. Like, I wonder if I can get off my medication. He's like, okay, well, let's just like, just wait a second, you know, cause he's seen the dark side. But yeah, even just after a month, I felt that shift and it's like, oh my gosh, like it also pisses me off. Why didn't my doctors talk to me about what I'm eating? And honestly, I don't even know if they put that correlation. I don't think they even understand that the fuel we are putting into our body affects how we feel, which is crazy. I mean, I'm learning so much after eating this way that I didn't think that. I didn't think what I was eating had anything to do with my mental health. No one told me, no one said that. But it makes so much sense if you're eating this high inflammatory diet and depression is linked to inflammation of the brain, then of course you're not going to feel good when you're eating this way, you know? So that's been like the biggest thing for me, is getting my mental health back, because I was not in a good place before. So it's been life changing.
Yeah, I have heard that so many times too. 3 weeks to a month is usually, we recently interviewed Todd Bachness, and he said, I suffered from horrible suicidal depression for 30 years. And just like you, Courtney, he said, I'm pissed off because it was 3 weeks on carnivore, gone, just completely gone. And I've heard that over and over again, and it was similar for me. And like you, Courtney, it was the same thing. I never in a million years would have imagined that my depression was from my food. Because the doctors, they told me, I was like, you got a chemical imbalance in your brain, take this medication, maybe that'll balance it out. None of that ever worked, but I never would have thought it. But now after doing this for a while, it's like you said, it's crystal clear. We're eating this highly inflammatory food for years and years and decades, you end up with depression, you end up with an inflamed brain, you end up with brain fog. You have, like, that was one of the biggest things I've learned on carnivore too, is I feel like everybody should be concerned with inflammation. And they're not. Like, you tell people you're doing carnivore, oh, what about your cholesterol? They're worried about your cholesterol. And meanwhile, you look around in the world, everybody's inflamed. I'm like, you get depression from inflammation. You get, if you have chronic inflammation for years and years and decades, you end up with cancer, Alzheimer's, dementia, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, like all of these things. Nobody's worried about it. Hopefully that'll change going forward. But I wasn't worried about it either. I was more worried about cholesterol than I was inflammation. So I started going down this rabbit hole. But like you just said, it's, some of this is so clear now. It's like you're eating highly inflammatory food, your body becomes inflamed. That's like a kindergartner could understand that. But we get so deep into eating this way and get the brain fog and get on the cycle of medication that some of the stuff is hard to wrap our brains around.
Yeah. And I think we just need like better education for the doctors, because I just don't think this is anything that they're taught, because like you said, they just say it's like a chemical thing. And I had my psychologist say that I should go on meds. And so my OB also said, and she's the one that prescribed it, but no one talked to me about like what I was eating or my lifestyle or what's going on. It was just like, oh, like you're feeling this way. Okay, let's medicate you. Like that was just the next step. Like no one was trying to really to get to the root of the issue. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah. I after 1 year on carnivore, I went back to the doctor, and it was the first time there was nothing wrong with me. I had congestive heart failure and I was feeling so good. I'm like, I want to get my heart tested again. But long story short, the first thing they asked me when I walked in there was, what's your pharmacy? And I'm like, I don't do that anymore. Like it really threw me off. I wasn't even trying to be obnoxious. It was like, I don't do pharmacies anymore. But it made me realize, and then after that, that's all the discussion is when you go to the doctor, is what medication, where's your pharmacy? Because we're going to put you on medication because that's what you're here for. We don't deal with root cause anymore, but I'm thankful that some of the good doctors in this carnivore space are dealing with the root cause. And Dr. Baker's doing some incredible work with Rivero and Dr. Berry, Dr. Chafee, Dr. Hampton, Dr. Ovedia. Like some of these guys are actually treating the root cause, and hopefully we can get the word out so that others can, especially those with depression, anxiety. It breaks my heart knowing the suffering that I went through, the suffering that you went through. And there's so many people now more than ever in the world that are experiencing that same suffering, and they believe it's a fluke or it's a genetic issue or it's a chemical imbalance in their brain, and they don't have any idea that it's just the foods they're eating. So
yeah, it's really sad, because I see on a daily basis these people that are struggling because I see their nasty comments to me. So it's like clearly they are not in a good place and something's going on. And you can guarantee they're probably just inside all day eating a crappy diet. You're not going to be outside getting sunshine, going for walks, exercise, eating a proper human diet, thriving, and then be chewing somebody out on the internet, you know? So it is like very concerning. And another concern I have is, you know, children's behavior. And how so many are being medicated. And it's like, look at the diet. Like, I just, it's so frustrating to watch even friends' kids that are struggling, when it's like, maybe it's because they're eating such a high carb diet. Maybe that's not best for them. But, you know, I can't like say anything. I don't want to give unsolicited advice, but I feel like that's a whole other issue too, with kids just eating processed stuff all day long.
That's something that weighs on me so much as well. It's just crazy. And then I think back with my kids and what I fed them, and obviously you can't go back and change things because we didn't know what we didn't know, but you're absolutely right. You see children now too, and it's like, oh, they've got the terrible twos. And it's like, Really? Is that the terrible twos, or is that that they're drinking apple juice and eating nonstop carbs and sugar, and they can't sleep at night, and now they're bouncing off the wall, and then you blame the kid. It's like, it's not even the kid's fault. We've interviewed so many carnivore families and carnivore kids, and I remember when we interviewed Dr. Barry, he's like, I know I'm biased because I'm their dad, but he's like, my kids, they're going to need like a separate division for them in school because they're so far ahead and everything they're learning, but also athletics and just energy wise. And I've heard that over and over again from so many. I really hope we can get the word out for the next generation, because I'm like, I ate pretty bad to get to where I was with the depression, and I was 100 pounds heavier. But it's nothing like this next generation. If you look at this next generation now, they're all walking around with the Starbucks. It's just pure sugar and everything is processed. I've got some young nephews and it just breaks my heart seeing them. Like, I gave them some meat and they're like, this is like the first time we've had meat. I'm like, are you kidding me? They're like, literally, like their diet, other than I think they had hot dogs once, like 3 years ago, their diet is just processed. It's all processed macaroni and cheese and pizza and stuff like that. So I really feel like this next generation, it's going to be so evident. Like, people are so sick. Like, we have to do something. Obviously it's just the food we're eating, but
yeah, it's so sad.
Yeah, it's sad. And then trying to look at the positive side, at least the word is getting out there. It feels like, it's hard for me to judge because I'm in the carnivore space, you're in the carnivore space, but I don't know what your thoughts are. It seems like it's growing and it's getting more people's attention. So hopefully the word's getting out there. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. It's hard to judge because I'm so close to it, but I feel like I'm running into people that don't know about me on YouTube and seeing more people that are talking about eating a proper human diet or carnivore.
Yeah, I definitely think it's growing, and not even just carnivore, because you know what, while I'm passionate about carnivore, my kids don't eat a carnivore diet. I would say they're more animal-based and they do have some berries. So I am seeing a lot of, you know, I think whole foods, if we can at least just eat a whole foods diet, you know, that is amazing, that you're going to be doing better than 99% of the population. Right. If you can just, you know, eat a whole foods diet, then you know, that's going to be amazing. So I do see how like even just raw milk is trending right now, or using tallow instead of other oils. So like those are great steps in the right direction. I think people are starting to wake up a bit and make some of those changes. And then I think there's people that see that and they just don't care in a way. It's almost like survivor's bias, like, oh, I ate that and I was fine. You know, like we went to a friend's house, like a year ago, and even knowing what I do and what I share, you know, they got a snow cone machine and they're dumping like all the red dye on it. And they're like, can your kid have one? I'm like, I don't want to be that person, and I don't want to be like, no, I don't want them to have red dye like you're giving your kid. So I'm like, oh, like, do you have some juice or something we can put on it? So it's like, even if people know and they're aware of it, some people just don't care. And dare I say, it's also lazy parenting. And I've done that. So I say it from a place of where I've been there. You know, yes, it's easy to feed your kids chicken nuggets. They're going to be excited and they're not going to battle you. But honestly, if you keep giving your kids nutritious foods, they will get used to it. Their body will start to crave it and they'll enjoy it. You know, get them involved and have them help you. But yeah, I think just even making those small changes where you can make a huge difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always tell people too, the thought of carnivore is so crazy for most people. I totally get it. Even if you can just ease into it with keto, or even if you could just do a little baby step, like with your kids, just get them off the breakfast cereal. Give them bacon and eggs for breakfast. Give them whole foods for breakfast instead of the cereal. It's just one step in the right direction, and just take baby steps towards it. Good stuff, Courtney. So I want to talk a little bit about this, your cookbook. How did this come about? And yeah, could you talk a little bit about your passion for carnivore cooking and recipes and things like that?
Yeah, so it's always been, food's always been a passion of mine. I've, you know, cooked as long as I can remember. I was a chef on yachts for the last few years before, you know, staying home with my kids. So I've always had a love for cooking. I shared low-carb and keto foods before I even went carnivore. So I've always had a dream of making a cookbook. I just didn't think it would be a carnivore cookbook. I still think it's like so weird, you know, being a foodie in the past and now like, oh, here's my book. We only use a few ingredients. Like, it's kind of crazy. So I was actually approached. They found me on TikTok and I remember the email and they're like, it looks like so many people are like turning to you for their dinner ideas. And I'm like, and coming from TikTok, everyone hated me on TikTok. Like my following count, like there were hate follows. So it's funny that they were saying that. I'm like, oh, they don't like me over there. But when I got that email, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like a dream come true. I had actually already looked them up, the publishers, because I'm like, okay, I want to do a book. Am I going to like do it myself and self-publish or am I going to shop it around? So when I got their email, I'm like, this is amazing. So yeah, I wanted to get it out as soon as possible without rushing it. So I had like a 6-month deadline I gave myself. They let me like pick where that came from. So I did 6 months and then we did another, I think like 9 months back and forth with editing. And it was a wild process. I cried a lot, but my passion was just, I just wanted to give people some options that weren't steak and burger patties. You know, a lot of us, I feel like even myself included, eat so simply, but my kids are going to get burnt out on steak and burger patties. So I just wanted to give some ideas to how to make this a little bit more creative and sustainable. And, you know, if you have guests over, if you want to make them something, you know, that's still carnivore, but they won't even know it, like the bacon cheeseburger soup, like you don't have to be carnivore to love it. So yeah, it was a labor of love and never again.
It's incredible. I mean, I'm sincerely, there's so much, because like we were talking about earlier, you think carnivores, oh, it's restrictive or there's only beef, butter, bacon, eggs. And then you have this whole cookbook just full of beautiful recipes and so many good ideas that people would never consider unless you looked in here. I think my daughters, Emma and Alyssa, and all my daughters, my daughter Emma, though, she loves your cookbook. She's been doing a bunch of recipe videos off of it. And it's been a huge blessing for me because I'm like, I get to eat all this good food and I don't have to cook it. Like things I never would have even imagined she's coming up with and cooking from it. But it's just like, I huge shout out for the cookbook because it's so well done, too. It's like beautiful pictures. It's all color and there's endless recipes in there and ideas. So
thank you. And yeah, my husband was also benefiting from when I made the cookbook. Oh, like bet. You're eating all these recipes and now he's like, what happened? Like I haven't created one new recipe since. I feel like I shot my wad with that. Like it was so much work that now I'm like, okay, we're going to DoorDash burger patties from the burger place. But yeah, your daughter's been so amazing. Like every time I see one pop up, I'm like, that's so cool. We're actually, I need to follow up again with her on email. We're supposed to do a little like pizza recipe collaboration video. So that will be super fun. Like I joke, I'm like, you are like my new marketing team. Like she's been doing so amazing. It's just so sweet to see too. So that's so sweet of her.
Yeah, she's a super fan for sure. Yeah, you guys got to do that. That'd be awesome. Do you have like a go-to recipe that you enjoy carnivore-wise?
Yes, the bacon cheeseburger soup because it's so easy and simple and quick. We do that a lot. We do the carniza recipe. And honestly, I have those like on such repeat. Like I need to open up my book because I'm like, what else is in there? Because I'm just like, we either keep it simple, burgers, steaks, we do chicken wings. So it's pretty simple, but then I do like to throw in one of the creative recipes just to like, you know, keep things a little bit interesting. But like the lasagna is good. Oh, I will say, okay, biscuits and gravy and eggs benedict are ones that we do too.
Nice. Good stuff. Well, I'll have a link to everything Courtney's doing, including Carnivore in the Kitchen cookbook in the description. One other question I had for you is I have a lot of new carnivores or they're carnivore curious. They can't quite wrap their brain around this, but some of them they're suffering. They have anxiety, they have depression, they have other health issues. Do you have any tips or advice for someone that's curious about carnivore but can't quite wrap their brain around it?
I would say just give it a shot. Like, what do you have to lose except for all your health issues? Like, knock on wood, I don't want to say like nothing bad would happen in X amount of time, but like nothing bad's going to happen. You know, if you're worried about your cholesterol or this and that, like you should be fine. So I would say minimum of 30 days, but definitely give it 90 days. Something magical happens. Things are getting more like adjusted and you'll feel really good. I hear a lot of people say, wow, I didn't realize how bad I felt until I feel so good. I think we get used to all these little aches and pains. You wake up in the morning, you're a little tired, you know, put your feet down and your ankles are swollen or your joints hurt, like little things that you kind of just brush off as normal can go away. And yes, the mental health side of things, you know, the skin clearing, having no gas or bloating. Like I think people are so used to, you know, going around and tooting all day. But when you remove those plants, like there's no gas or bloating. So yeah, it's been really amazing. I would encourage anyone to give it a shot. You can always go back to how you ate before. Okay. This isn't like something that you're locked into and you can never leave. You can give it a shot and go back to what you were doing if you don't like it. But I guarantee you're going to feel so amazing that you're going to want to make some changes.
Love it. Great advice. Well, Courtney, do you have anything big coming up or anything you want to mention or shout out before we wrap up?
I do, actually. So it's not till next year, but Meatstock, and I saw that you're on the flyer too. So we went this year. It's amazing. Next year is going to be even bigger and better. So check us out there. That's really, honestly, all that I have like going on right now. I am open to more things, but I passed on Hack Your Health, but that is still an amazing event. So whoever's, you know, looking at that, definitely go. Unfortunately, I will not be there. So yeah, Meatstock is the only thing I have going on right now.
That's going to be a heck of an event. I can't wait for that one. This will be my first time going to Meatstock, and the lineup is just, it's like everybody's there, right? They should list who's not there. Like literally everyone's there.
I know. It's huge. And branching out a little bit more from like the carnivore space. So you have like Food Babe, Vonnie Food Babe. She's amazing. She's doing amazing things like with the whole MAHA movement and being in the Senate and taking food dyes out. So that's going to be great. Callie Means or Casey? I get them confused. Callie, right? Is that the guy?
I think so. Yeah.
He's going to be there. Dr. Berg's going to be there. Alex Clark, who has like, you know, huge successful podcast right now, is going to be there. Michaela Peterson. And then all like, you know, the other carnivore bigwigs that everybody knows. So it's going to be amazing.
There's one other person. Actually, I have a little visual here I'll share that's going to be there, which we filmed her for our documentary. This is Rancher Maggie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Year old.
She's going to be at Meatstock, which is going to be awesome. She hasn't gone to any like meetup or events. She's kind of just does her thing at the farm, but Adam and I filmed her for our documentary and seeing her in person, she's going to be speaking. She's going to be at Meatstock. So it's going to be awesome. So many people are inspired by her. They're like, man, 82 years old with those guns. I want to be like that. When I told her we should make a shirt. I want to be like Maggie when I grow up.
Seriously, she's ripped. Oh my goodness. I feel embarrassed now. Don't look at my arms.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Courtney. I really appreciate everything you're doing. Your cookbook's awesome. I'll have a link in the description below. And thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Bye.